Hello everybody, and welcome to the new UK radio show, Kevin's Cosmic Capers. My name is Kevin Smith, and I have a few things to share with you. As we begin on our process of awareness, having been chosen by the real Universal Guides, as they recognise risk-taking potential and the spark of courage required for such a journey, we may not fully appreciate what we will have to go through. The personal self, at any rate, will latch onto and pursue what it does based on its incessant need to chase thrills, for it always is indulging its emotional astral vehicle predominantly. The vast majority of individuals, the length and breadth of creation, will be motivated mainly from the need to satiate their ever-hungry astral vehicles. The want for emotional stimulation seems limitless. Imagine millions of lifetimes where the main feature of them has been indulging in this nature. It boggles the literal mind. The vehicles, of course, are the means by which we create experience for ourselves. As we activate their idea-generating mechanics, our life unfolds before us through the creational process of cause and effect, or what most may term karma. Experiences are, of course, an essential aspect of our waking up process, and at a certain point, when we have perhaps exhausted all avenues of created experience, or at least enough of them that we then stretch and reach for more, a vague inkling, an intuitive nudge perhaps, that there is something beyond what we have always known, then the guides may decide to step in and provide the golden opportunity. Throughout my life, prior to the new presentation, I often would have dreams of searching for something, of wandering into wildernesses and somehow knowing there was something I sought, but not having the ability to find it. I suspect this would be true of many, as they exhaust the array of experiences possible. I suspect this would be true of many, as they exhaust the array of experiences possible. They not only may dabble in the magical arts, but will undoubtedly have dreams of this nature. Dreams of searching for something beyond that which they've known, but that seems hidden from them. Their motivation for involving themselves in magical paths and things of this nature will be initially from an emotional, astral, gratifying reason, but underlying this will be the urge, the nudge from the intuitive self, the ethereal vehicle, to find something else. The ethereal intuitive aspect is the closest thing to real awareness, as it is, literally speaking, the least dense layer of our created self, and so the veil between it and the real self must be the thinnest. Little wonder, then, that it is the ethereal vehicle that is best positioned to receive intuitive nudges, which would be the real self trying to get the attention of its created personal self. The body vehicles or selves below become rather convoluted with ideas, considerations, then emotions, to the point where very little information, if any at all, can reach us from the real self. Everything, of course, is. All the body vehicles are rolled into one, and exist in this very new moment. So it's not a case that we must move or travel into the fifth level and our ethereal vehicle to access our intuition. We must just stop generating emotion and thought ideas from the mental and astral vehicles, or they certainly will muddy the waters and make it quite the task for anything of intuition sent from the real self to reach our personal selves here in the physical. So, very likely, the want to play with magical systems was sparked by an intuitive drive, as generally the personal self is very content to do what it has always done. The personal self is rather basic and rudimentary, its main drive being, of course, sexual gratification, in whatever form that may take for the individual. Everyone, generally, being locked into their physical astral vehicles, then, it's very inconceivable that from this limited viewpoint, an individual would not see any merit in doing anything else. For only if the personal self exhausts whatever it is that caters for its sexual needs will it likely try a different tactic, or failing that, will reach for magics, mysticism, meditations, astral projecting, etc. We can see then that in days of old, this would explain why there was more interest in these kinds of esoteric, beyond the normal, thrill-seeking pursuits. If the main source of thrill-seeking stemmed from sexual gratification, then, as you can imagine, this was vastly dependent on the availability of the source of this gratification, and even if readily available, it would all get rather samey after a while. And of course, circumstances dictate that not everyone will be able to indulge this astral drive back in those days. Things were certainly far better designed for the controllers in this astral satiating regard, so of course the likelihood that far more would turn to alternative pursuits in comparison to today. For in the technological age ushers in a whole new source of astral indulging. Thrill-seeking no longer is restricted to what was the only means such could be indulged before technology. Peoples now, regardless of their circumstances, can access technology, unless their situation is very destitute, and of course this is becoming more and more the case. Nevertheless, individuals potentially have a far greater array and spectrum of technology-orientated indulgences that cater for the emotional self. Even simply watching television will satisfy the astral emotional self, the computer games, etc. Any overstimulation of a vehicle, the astral emotional, as is predominant, will guarantee cause and effect experiential consequences that keep people not only in a constant state of reincarnational recycling, but ensures they never can go beyond the astral life level. To move our focus of self further into the life levels requires recognition. It requires that one conquer or get under control over that which prevents them from doing so. In other words, to get a hold of the astral emotional self and control its insatiable wants and the ideas it generates. The world controllers, the dark forces, are limited in their awareness, but understand enough of creational mechanics that they are more than adept at keeping individuals locked in creation, assuming they can attract and glean their agreement to be thus restricted. They may well have panicked to a degree when many individuals in the past began magical exploration due to a lack or lack of variety of emotional stimulation. They would have little to fear, it seems, as perhaps the consciousness of humanity, by and large, hadn't developed enough. Most hadn't had enough experience in creation yet that they were likely to be afforded an opportunity to become aware of and recognize the ease. The consciousness of a species also dictates if the ease can have a presence in creation, and if it can position an individual willing to be the emissary of the ears and share the message of its possibility. Everything is based on agreement, free will and consciousness. As to if an individual can be positioned in creation and the is light allowed to shine. If the consciousness of a species is such that they are not ready for such an opportunity, this is tantamount to a lack of agreement. For it's likely the ears will have guides approach individuals on the real side, at higher life levels, to ascertain willingness and agreement, and if found lacking or non-existent, it would be impossible for the ears or an emissary of it to feature in the experiences of the unconscious mass of the species. So, yes, individuals may start to dabble, perhaps based on the personal sense of having exhausted experience, exhausted the limited array of thrill-seeking, emotional, astral stimulation that is available. But very few would have been in a position to be ready for the super knowledge of the true reality. Nevertheless, throughout history, evidently there was enough agreement, enough people ready, that individuals from the ears could squeeze through the resistant block of stubborn literalism and establish themselves to assist some who are willing to take the risk. Jesus, Pythagoras, and surely others throughout our history as examples. And quite the risk indeed, as anything indulged in beyond what was deemed acceptable in history's past would certainly bring the sword of religious indignation upon one's neck. And that was certainly how the controllers would have discouraged such magical pursuits, witchcraft, etc. Fear being the principal tool by which the dark forces maintain their stranglehold on a species, and that, if agreed with, keeps everyone suppressed, taplined, and locked into the Matrix. Easy enough, then, to execute anyone who became a witch or a wizard, usually on the basis of some justifiable reason, generally a religious one, of how it was devilry, etc., even though you can guarantee that anything a slave would indulge in, a controller or elite individual would be doing and more besides. The laws of restriction, after all, are for the slaves, and generally as a further means to keep them locked down, and the laws don't apply to the slave masters. So everything was relatively under control, a few individuals escaping the prison yard and running about beyond it, but generally unlikely to get much further due to the overall consciousness of humanity, with fear of death to keep everyone else from clambering over the fences and following them. Moving into the modern era, and the trick was then to keep the slaves far more focused on survival as conditions become harsher, less time to do much beyond making it to the end of the week and feeding one's family, with a little time for emotional indulgence, into the present day and the advent of technology, seemingly for humanity's benefit, and it seems few are arguing the point. The world we collectively experience can only be as it is if the majority agree with it, or are programmed to agree to the ideas that the experience reflects. So, with technology prevalent and becoming increasingly so, everyone is evidently in agreement with it, consciously or subconsciously. And now, not only can people indulge their emotional astral selves, but the variety of how they can is vastly expanded through the utilizing of all the assorted TVs, computers, computer games, virtual reality, etc. At a time where, yes, humanity by and large has had all the experience necessary and is ready for the opportunity of superseding creation, and is far more likely to turn to mystical, magical pursuits via its intuitive nudge to do so. And we would see this around the 80s and the 90s, an explosion of interest in all things spiritual, from Wicca to shamanism, and mystical teachings from the East to everything in between. This was a sure indication of humanity having exhausted all experiential avenues, especially those of an astral, thrill-seeking variety, and they were demonstrating their want to reach for something else. Evidently, this phase in consciousness was established in the 60s, in fact, or Ekankar could not have been established. Agreement was such that allowed Paul Twitchell to come onto the scene and set the foundations for the recognition of the ears. It's likely individuals lacked the consciousness to fully grasp what they sought, but agreement was enough that they had accepted something that would provide them a path to something beyond which they had always known. This is why Paul Twitchell had to use the references people were familiar with, ones of a religious or spiritual nature, or he and the guides and the ears would not have had agreement. They very likely determined the readiness of consciousness on the real side, but had to present the possibility with these older reference perspectives. Agreement sought on the real side and the other life levels, they then could enter the experience of humanity, but limited to the references of old, or they simply could not have been in humanity's experience. For many, however, they would never move beyond the babysitting, old reference-using days, and this opened a door for which the reptilians could take over Paul's creation and contaminate it. And the infected Ekankar reptilian centres are maintained with ease, as it is dragged then into the physical astral, the domain of feel-good emotion, and very easy to maintain agreement to anything that is based on emotional stimulation. Again, then, we can see the controllers had put down this attempted insurrection and defiance of their domination. But nevertheless, they may not have been aware of Dwayne and how he was being prepared. Aware of him to an extent, but perhaps dismissing him at this point. As much of what was occurring was on life levels beyond the reptilians' awareness to see, or events beyond their scope to recognize. I imagine Dwayne's receiving of the Rod of Power, the symbolic assuming of his position as the new man and Paul's successor, would not have been witnessed or acknowledged by the controllers at first. They would learn of it in time, but consider the Rod of Power to be an actual artifact that they could assume possession of and use for their own reasons, not understanding what it actually was. Humanity was still, by and large, at a level of consciousness where they were ready for the opportunity. They still sat at a place of experiential capacity, and the controllers would watch and wait. They had sabotaged the Ekankar attempt, and netted all those still agreeing with it, as it now bound them to the reptilians. But perhaps they had overlooked Dwayne, who was about set to emerge and bring in the new wave of the Is. Interestingly enough, Dwayne emerged in 2001, and this was around the time where we would see a huge influx of technology just prior to this date. Around the millennium, we would see the sudden explosion in personal cell phones, home computers, and the black magic phenomenon that is the internet. I suggest this was no accident. The controllers hadn't realized Dwayne as a threat, maybe initially, but cottoned on fast enough and surely scrambled to bring in this technology just prior to Dwayne making himself known. I suggest that absent of the technology, far more people would have taken up the journey of awareness, perhaps millions, perhaps far more than we could imagine. For just prior to the millennium in the 90s, everyone was pursuing spiritual paths, chasing UFOs, and studying mystical arts. A clear demonstration of humanity straining at their chains, but with Ekankar put down and no other alternative available, the controllers would be sleeping easy, perhaps with one slit reptilian eye open, but spring to attention as they would come to realize the threat of Dwayne, and then produce and roll out technologies as fast as they are able. Be assured, the technology that entered our experience in the millennium era and continues to do so is not new. It stems from the reptilians, and they've had the technology for eons. They could have thrust it into humanity's experience at any time they chose. They may not even have had to scramble that much, as they can move beyond the idea of time and enter any part of the time stream of humanity's history they choose. Very easy then to build all the first wave of cell phones that maybe take a year to develop, then pop back a year or whenever in time and roll them out before technically, from a time perspective, they were actually created. Just in time, perhaps, for Dwayne. As I say, in absence of the technologies, I suspect far greater numbers would have listened to the new man, for the technology heralded a new era of emotional stimulation, a new variety and form never before encountered in humanity's experience, perhaps. And so now the controllers are providing new experiences for an already experience-saturated species, and we would see then how vast swathes of humanity became addicted to these technologies, the feel-good stimulation of them, the dopamine rush for every click and like received on Twitter or Facebook. The technology would net many, many humans who were otherwise ready for the opportunity of the ease. Agreement had been attained for not only the perpetuated presence of the ease and an emissary beyond Ekankar and Paul, but also that consciousness was ready to receive a pure version of it. All religion and spiritual references dropped, and direct exposure to the ears. That could not be possible without agreement to not only the continued presence of the ears, but the direct references to it. Agreement and the specifics gleaned again on the real side. But alas, now these exciting and emotional astral-stimulating technologies were seizing the focus and locking individuals back into their astral bodies, just as they were preparing to open the prison doors, they were slammed right back inside. Their decision to do so, yes, agreement had to be made, but the subliminal bombardment and subconscious programming to the agreement, and the technology as an added source of subliminals, certainly ensured agreement far more so. That is the sole reason and purpose for the technology, and why it continues to roll out in ever-increasing magnitude and splendour as a means of distraction and to cater for the emotional personal self, and ensure as many people as possible forfeit the opportunity they were ready for by providing them more experience they didn't need to have. And I would go so far to suggest technology was designed to trap humanity in the Matrix, yes, but specifically to offset the impact of Dwayne and the new presentation, as it's very conceivable that without the sudden influx of technology at around the same time Dwayne was ready to begin, we may have seen a mass wake-up never before witnessed anywhere in creation at any time in the eons of the idea of time. And even with the technology in full flow, the reptilians cannot rest easy, perhaps underestimating the new wave and the tenacity of the new man. And so we have further distractions, theatre for the masses, world fires, and the impending rollout of 5G and mass robotization. For the fact the is still here in creation, and Dwayne can operate, and the new presentation continues to receive interest and reaches ever further across the world into the consciousness of humanity, this suggests that not only is there agreement for it, but the agreement is growing, which can only occur if agreement to it increases. And so, once again, everything that is designed to lock humanity down is to offset the new wave. The ultimate objective of the controllers has been, and always has been, to keep humanity as its slaves, and trapped in creation, with emotional stimulation generally being the key, as the controllers recognize this as the main driving force of an unaware individual, the need to chase thrills and gratify itself sexually. Continuing on with the mechanics by which we bring experience into our lives, the body vehicles are designed for this purpose, each with their own facility for creating ideas, and as all the body vehicles and life levels are in reality one, as everything is, the body in its entirety is a generator of our experiences, for it is experience or references that we will utilize for recognizing the subtle differences between the life levels and ultimately the true reality of the all is. The mechanics are there and in place, but we are the operator of the machinery, or as we might say, we are the decider. We then must take or accept full responsibility for everything in our lives as this recognition dawns, for nothing can feature in our experience unless we have decided on it. Nothing outside of ourselves can have a bearing on what we must walk through. The decisions that we make, that which we choose, activates our experience creation machinery. All the various elements of the personal self combine to create, and the creations we may say are ideas. Effectively then, everything in creation is an idea. In order for something to be, It must have stemmed from an initial idea. It was agreed and acted upon. It was given a focus, and the cause and effect mechanism activated, and the idea made manifest in the experience of all those in agreement to it. Again, we can see that for the idea to be in the experience of individuals, few or many, they must have agreed with the original idea, or it could not be so. We are the decider of our lives and everything we choose to experience. Agreement with other people's ideas will be tantamount to deciding on something, and we then will participate and be involved in the experience that stems from the cause and effect that must follow the inception of any idea. We can see then why we share a collective reality, how the planet we share and the main features of it are experienced by all. We must all be agreeing to and deciding on these features, the various laws of physics that make up our world, how the sky is blue, and you can't fly unless you have wings. In fact, any law that exists, any restriction that the scientists will proclaim a law of physics, is simply that which is agreed to by the majority of the individuals. And cause and effect then has those individuals experiencing the limitation or the law that they have agreed with. We can see that there is in fact no limitation to what is possible anywhere in creation, as it is a reflective bubble, and we may decide upon and choose anything we wish, and once we have done so, we will experience that which we have decided. So, yes, some people can fly or levitate. Some people can shapeshift, simply because they have not agreed with such a restriction that prevents them from doing so. Why most people have such routine and seemingly boring and limited lives is due to agreement to this drudgery, and were it not for the presence of the control systems in place by the alien tapliners, there would be far more expression of individual uniqueness. In order to maintain control, it is imperative to ensure that the slaves do not begin to reach and expand upon extreme limitation, that they do not suddenly shapeshift into a cat or something, that they have nothing in their experience that suggests there is more out there than they have considered for millions of lifetimes. If the control system was just physical, then there would be less control over the masses. Yes, they would have the physical bodies locked down. They would, in essence, have the masses agreeing with the notion of slavery, for if they did not, then slavery could not feature in their experience. But they must suppress the sense of what else is possible. They must lock the humans into their literal senses only. It's all very well having the physical body in a cage, but through the imagination one can still reach for possibilities beyond the physical, accessing intuition and then perhaps real awareness. Someone could be in a prison, yet be the freest person in creation, because they are connecting with and utilizing all aspects of their personal self, not just the emotional and physical. Individuals certainly may well agree with their position as a caged slave, but unlikely to agree, or less so, with other limitations. Every individual has had millions of lifetimes all over creation, dimensions, and worlds, and undoubtedly experienced quite the plethora of existences, skills, and abilities, and all these will be stored in their Akashic causal vehicle files. Naturally, abilities will be picked up along the way. Perhaps, yes, the ability to shapeshift, levitate, translocate, and endless other possibilities. To lock down a species entirely, the controllers can't allow such freedom of individual expression, because as a snowball rolling down a hill, it gathers momentum and more snow. If an individual finds they can fly, what else can they do? And imagine the inspiration this would provide for others. It would begin to fragment anyone's self-convinced contentions as to flying limitations, and logically consideration beyond that. If flying is a possibility, what else can be done? So the control is extensive, locking everyone into their literal personal selves is imperative. Program them from the earliest age in the schooling systems. Continue the programming through the televisions that enforce the school programs, and continually bombard them with subliminal programming via their ethereal body vehicles. This extensive programming then has the physical vehicle contained. And yes, we may not see bars at this moment, but as we are locked into our wage slave routines that we must pay to be alive, we may as well be sitting in a cage. And it has effectively all our body vehicles contained, for we are locked into a programmed literalism, and thus the aspects of our vehicles that would afford more expansive experience are diminished. Our imaginative faculties and our accessing intuition and real awareness. The literal box we are placed within is akin to a cage for our experience generating personal self, and programmed and restricted as it is, we then will be agreeing with mainly what the controllers have decided. To prove that this is so, we have only to look out the window. The world is a reflection of that which the majority are agreeing with, and it is a very limited and increasingly restricted experience. There is a little room for self-expression. A few individuals do break free of the control to an extent and exercise a little unique experience generating of their own beyond that which the controllers wish to collectively create. And so there are some individuals who can and do levitate as an example, but far fewer now than in previous eras of human history, because as time passes, the restriction and literal programming becomes ever more intensive. The controllers wish for a world of slaves that are completely controlled and cowed to do nothing else than be a slave, and placed in such a literal box that no consideration beyond the physical life level be made, and so all the programming will be to this end. The ideas that the mass of the peoples agree with must be that of limitation, and in this they have succeeded, as we can see how the world is completely locked down and 100% human farming. And now, of course, the controllers wish to destroy the planet and bring about a robotic world, killing everything living. And as the experience collectively shared is seemingly going in that direction, the ideas of a destruction nature are being agreed with. And so the world the controllers wish to create or uncreate is unfolding at a rapidly increasing pace. The world originally, as any planet in the Golden Ages, the early stages of creation, would have been very pristine in comparison, as naturally the created planets would have been created in this way. What sense would there have been to create a planet to have agreement for, or make one any other way? The Ease is responsible for recreating the Matrix simulator after the final epoch and an implosion of the creation. The individuals still caught in it are temporarily removed, then returned into it once recreated. As the planets and systems are once again in a pristine state, it stands to reason that the inhabitants temporarily removed would have no hand to play in its creation. For still surviving in the psych realms to the bitter end, as they imploded, would have quite the psychological trauma, and also the reason they still were there was that they still were locked in creation by constantly generating experience that they must go through in creation. And seeing as creation imploded, the ideas they were agreeing to, that which they were constantly creating, were along the lines of destruction and restriction, and had creation not imploded, they'd have found themselves in future lifetimes in even more dire circumstances. If then the mechanics of recreating the psych realms fell upon the individuals who, by agreement and choices, had destroyed the last one, then the new matrix would start off in equally as dire and unsavoury conditions of control and restriction. The fact that everything is fresh and new indicates that all ideas, creations, projections, and the experience that must follow through cause and effect is cut off and prevented from being the clay by which the new epoch worlds are formed. It stands to reason, then, that if what the individuals had been generating is shut down for this reason, and the fact that then they enter the epochs afresh, and yes, they will begin to experientially move through deteriorating cycles in accordance with cause and effect restriction of consciousness, then initially they must have had much of their karmic baggage removed. If creation is a reflection of everything that embodies the created self, the karma or cause and effect it is generating, and if the generation of experience through the body mechanics was of such a restrictive nature due to the agreement to such ideas, then the moment you placed these karmically overburdened individuals in the new formed Golden Age, the epoch would instantly become as it was just prior to the previous Iron Age epoch implosion. It may take a little time, as everything moves a little more slowly on the physical level due to its density. But if everything that is creation must experientially reflect the ideas in generation by those within it, it must switch pretty swiftly to a creation that is imploding again. The imploding epoch we have now didn't occur overnight. It took many millions of lifetimes of agreement to the specifics that brought such an experience about. A slow and gradual ramping up of restriction and control, and the agreement to it, reflected in the epochs, going through their deteriorating cycles, from gold to silver, to bronze to iron. If you were to place the individuals from the Bronze Age and their particular experience generating agreements into the Golden Age, they could not experience that which the Golden Age is. As you can only experience what you have set in motion through that which you have created, decided upon, and agreed with. This is how creation works. You can only experience what you create or agree with through cause and effect. Theoretically, then, placing everybody back in the Golden Age now would have it so they could not perceive this age, They could well be standing there, but the experience could not feature in their reality. They would be in some pseudo-reality, an alternative dimension, in keeping with the experience reflecting that which they had decided on. With any individual fresh into the Matrix, they need a little karma to kickstart their experience, so this they are laden with to get the whole process rolling. It's very likely then, as an epoch implodes and individuals are removed from it and placed in a new golden recreated matrix, yes, they may have had no hand in its creation, and they can't enter with the same karma they exited the last iron destroyed epoch with, but they must have something to kickstart their process of experience and reference gathering also. Individuals do seem to retain at least the themes of their attitudes, as many of the controller types, even if going through epoch cycles and phantom zones, seem to very often continue again along these same destructive and controlling ways of being. Perhaps then, as a new epoch rolls out, every individual has a vague sense of who they once were. It can only be a vague sense, as with the destruction of the last matrix, so went their vehicles and causal Akashic record bodies with it, a fresh slate, as it were. And yet the controllers have a tendency to re-establish themselves. So perhaps the ears indifferently grants each individual with the attitudes or senses of them that each held most dear, and off we go again. Attitudes, ideas, agreements, decisions, cause and effect experience, and through the epochs we will go again. It seems that most individuals need the four epochs, as they do provide more than enough experience in preparation for the opportunity of awareness, and yet many, if not most, can find themselves going through creational epoch cycles again, maybe indefinitely, some never escaping the matrix. If everything is reset, including the five vehicles, if the causal body, the library of reference experience material is emptied at the start of each new epoch cycle, we can see how people can very easily get stuck in creation. It's like someone taking away all your library of books, and now you must replenish the library each time for your information database. We must, of course, remember that this is all literal evaluation, because everything is an isness, everything is, and everything is contained within this very new moment. So, what separates someone from being on the physical level in the Iron Epoch, or being on the fifth level, is a recognition. A recognition of the mechanics of creation, how everything works that facilitates that individual deciding and thus experiencing themselves ultimately on the fifth level, as opposed to the unconscious individual who is on the physical level. The decided upon and created ideas culminating in that more limited experience. Until, of course, one decides, focuses on, and recognizes that they are a true light being with the is now. And with that determination, standing real and earning the way, creation is superseded. And to supersede creation means we move out of the cause and effect mechanics of it. So, yes, we can improve our positioning within the matrix through the better decisions, the better effects we set in motion through the experience-generating mechanics of our vehicles. But ultimately, we would move beyond the specifics and the discipline of our experience-creating vehicles to afford us better positions within what still is a simulator. And so, standing with the is, we would be and see everything. The experience-generating equipment of creation can only afford us segregated experiences, an experience, a place, one step at a time. Without these individual experiences, these steps, the equipment is removed, and we must then be and see everything in its entirety. For now the vehicles are gone, the generators of our experiences, wherever they may be, are absent, and yet we are still here. For now the vehicles are gone, the generators of our experiences, and yet we are still here. And with creation superseded, the vehicles are gone, the cause and effect generating experience mechanics absent, what is left is us standing in our real selves with the is, in a state of being isness. And that will about wrap it up for this show. I thank you all for listening and hope you found it awareness provoking. And so I will finish with the new you song. New you. I will see you on the real side.